I'm doing well. Good. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our morning worship service. We're so glad to see a nice group out this morning to praise God and give Him thanks. I just want to challenge us with a verse this morning from Psalm 136 and verse 1, but the whole chapter is an excellent one to read, and this is found many times throughout the Scriptures, which says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His mercy endureth forever." May that be an impact today as we worship Him today in spirit and truth. Lonnie? We're going to turn it over to you.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning. So good you're all here today. We're going to have our call to worship now. We'd like you to turn to page 13 in our hymnals and stand, please.
Throne,
sing the last. Crown him the Lord of love. Behold his hands and side. Rich wounds yet visible above. In beauty glorified. All hail, Redeemer, hail. For thou hast died for me. Thy praise shall never, never fail throughout eternity. Let's see. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for getting us here today. Thank you for the beautiful day that we have, Lord. The sunshine coming through, Lord. The cool wind out there, Lord, but it's a great day and one to be here in your house today. Thank you, Lord, for just keeping us safe, for your daily provision, all that you do for us, Lord, especially this great nation we live in, Lord. Lord, we know it's problems, but we pray, Lord, for our leaders that they might turn to you, Lord, for what they need in helping our nation, Lord, to go forward. Thank you, Lord, for our pastor here today. And this great crowd of people, Lord, that's come to hear what you've laid on his heart, Lord, to spread throughout here today. Lord, may we be attentive, get something out of it today, Lord, to use in our daily Christian lives. And Lord, especially today, if someone needs you, that person might get right with you, Lord, before they leave today. Bless this time to come, Lord, and thank you so much for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Let's go to page 82, please. Page 82. Thank you. I got ahead of the ship here with the invocation, but that's okay. We're going to go right into our announcements and offerings. So today, tonight's message, Paul's testimony, what's yours? Challenge you to come back for that tonight at 6 o'clock. Our drama team meets on Monday at 6. We have personal evangelism November the 30th at 6 o'clock. Wilton Bible Study is December 2nd and 16th for the month at 6 o'clock also. We have a quarterly business meeting on the 12th at 6 o'clock in the evening. Let Pastor know if there's any items that you'd like to discuss in that. Our Christmas Eve service is scheduled for 12, 24th, day before Christmas. And let's see, we're going to, December 26th, we may have a service, we may not. We have to discuss that in our business meeting. Let's see, if your birthday or anniversary dates are not in the monthly calendar, please let Deb know and she'll take care of that. And pastor's thought for a week, there is a vaccine available for the deadly strain of diseases known as waywardness. It's called a shot in church and Sunday school attendance. Something to think about there. Let's see. Right now, we have a special, and Kay's going to be giving that to us. But first of all, I messed up. We have offerings and prayer. If you have an offering, we currently are not passing the plate, but we do have the plate set up in the back. So if you wish to give, you can there. And we're going to have a time of prayer right now. Is that for me, Pastor, the prayer? I can do. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you again, Lord, for this time. Thank you for our church, Lord, especially our church family, Lord. How we can come together, Lord, meet with each other, fellowship with each other, talk about our lives, Lord, and ask for a little bit of help from friends, Lord, that are here today. Lord, thank you for being with the Solace family, Lord. They're here today. Thank you, Lord, for just protecting them as they traveled and the many things that they had to do while they were away. Lord, we think of the Lehman family today also, Lord, is afflicted with the sickness, Lord, going around. I just ask you to guide and direct there and heal, Lord, that we might even see them someday, Lord. Thank you again, Lord, for this time as we give, Lord. Help that gift to come from our hearts, Lord, only. We don't want to coerce anybody, Lord, to be just shoving money in the plate. We just ask, Lord, that you would guide and direct there. And again, Lord, our pastor's going to speak. Guide and direct as he does so. In Jesus' name, amen.
This time, Kay's going to favor us with a special.
Not sure how much of a favor this will be. I woke up with a sore throat, so pray for me. There he was just waiting in our old familiar place, an empty spot beside him where I once used to wait, to be filled with strength and wisdom for the battle of the day. I would have passed him by again, but I clearly heard him say, I miss my time with you, those moments together. I need to be with you each day, and it hurts me when you say you're too busy. Busy trying to serve me, but how can you serve me when your spirit's empty? There's a longing in my heart, wanting more than just a part of you. It's true, I miss my time with you. What will I have to offer? How can he truly care? My efforts have no meaning when your presence isn't there. But you'll provide the power If I take the time to pray, I'll stay right here beside you, Lord. You'll never have to say, I miss my time with you. Those moments together, I need to be with you each day. And it hurts me when you say, you're too busy. Busy trying to serve me, but how can you serve me when your spirit's empty? There's a longing in my heart, wanting more than just a part of you. It's true, I miss my time with you. I miss my time with you.
Man, thank you, Kay. Thank you, Kay. There's a wonderful message right there in that very song. Is there not for today? I noticed here on my browser and my phone, I read a little story. I think it was Friday or yesterday, where a lady had invited many people to come to enjoy the Thanksgiving dinner with her and had gone to a lot of preparatory work. And how many people do you think came that day? Not one person. That's very similar, I think, to how we handle God many times. And yet, I don't know the heart, the little news clip about that didn't say how she felt about that necessarily or if she would ever do it again. But we know her feelings were likely hurt. And probably many of us here today would say what? We become what's called a never againer, and our hearts would get harder. But you know, the Lord is still waiting for us. He wants that fellowship. Kay, thank you. We could stop right there, and it was a good message. Greetings to one and all, and in the name of the Lord, it's good to be with you today. Just a little clarification, we are changing some things in our worship service. We want to bring more audience participation into our services in the morning. No, I'm still doing my yeomanship duty. I take care of it in the evening now, where Lonnie used to. But, you know, if you're interested in participating, you can let that be known. But we do want to incorporate the congregation into our worship services each week, because it's all our privileges to bring praise and thanksgiving to the Lord each and every Sunday. We're glad to see the Salas family back. Great to have people here visiting today. The junior senior high Sunday school class grew at about 500% this morning. I enjoyed having all you folks there. I think we had a really good time. Before I pray and we go into our message, also I do, and there is one other thing, there will be church here on December 26th. It's still to be determined if there will be an evening service and Sunday school that day. But you can come as a member and participate in that decision-making process on the 12th of December. So I wanted to let you know that that's the case. We would never not have services unless there was some legitimate reason why we could not. Also this morning, there's a beautiful poinsettia here on the organ, and that is in memory of Ken Weikert and also the anniversary of Rose and Ken. And we know that this year has been a milestone year in many lives as we've lost some of our loved ones and they've passed into eternity. And I recognize that today. There are many things that have taken place. Well, hopefully today we're still able to give thanks, and that indeed is the title of our message. And I have already slipped up because Doug Chatfield needs to be up here and read some scripture. So we are going to let him do that, and then I'll start over again.
Well, thank you for that introduction. We're going to read two verses from Paul's letters, 1 Corinthians and then 1 Thessalonians. And 1 Corinthians 10:13 is one of the basic verses of our Christian life, and you'll recognize it. It says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. God is faithful, who will not permit you to be tempted above that you are able, but with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Now, my idea of that is, Jesus is always right beside us. And that escape hatch is many times just grabbing a hold of his hand. In prayer or talking to him or whatever meets your need to give you confidence. Now, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." And I hope we did that this last week. Certainly.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you, Doug. May God bless the reading of his holy word. Well, the title of our message today is, and this is a very deep and profound message, although it's going to be presented simply. But the goal here today is that we would think deeply about our lives and our walk with the Lord. And I had no idea what Kay was going to sing today or any of the rest of this up until this morning. And so God, again, has fit these things perfectly together, and that's the way he works. The title of our message is Thinking and Thanking Outside the Box, and this is our Thanksgiving message. Let's bow in prayer, and we'll get down the road on this message. Father, we thank you today. And Lord, if we've been blood-bought by the precious blood of your Son, Jesus, I know in our brokenness and in our flesh, we so often forget about that word and that attitude and that spirit of thankfulness. But Lord, if there's not one other thing, which there are many things, that we can find to be thankful for this day, if believers here are assembled in this room, we need to give thanks for our salvation that was perfectly brought for us at the greatest cost ever, where God in the flesh had to come and be the perfect sacrifice, the sacrificial lamb that laid down his life, had his body broken and his blood shed to remit or cover the sins of the world. Lord, we live in a very time that is hard-hearted. People are unthankful. We know that your word also says that will be the spirit of the days as your return draws closer. And I pray today, Lord, that every one of us in this room will take a hard look at ourselves, because the fact of the matter is we neglect our thankfulness. And it's something that is found from cover to cover in Scripture, reasons to give thanks and reasons that you are worthy of our praise and thanksgiving. So, Lord, I pray that you would jerk our chain today. This message is not a perfect message. It is incomplete in many ways. But I pray today, Lord, that me and the rest of this audience today will be thinking about our own lives and thinking outside the box. Lord, help us to expand our box this day and in every day you give us yet to come. Now, I thank you for all that are in attendance today, for those that are listening over the internet ministry. And Lord, we thank you for your deliverance and the fact that we can trust you and be assured that your love for us will never end. Lord, I pray you'll bless my speaking today and give me Holy Spirit enthusiasm. I pray, Lord, that there be a Holy Spirit conviction fall over all of us today as we think about these things and how unthankful we really are and how much we're drawn inside a very small box as we think about thanksgiving and thankfulness. But Lord, I pray that you'll use this day and that it'll not be a waste of time, that it will change us, and Lord, we will not leave here as we entered this place. So I thank you now for this opportunity to have just a few moments here to share some thoughts. And I thank you for the scripture. We're only based on a couple of verses in particular today, but your whole book addresses all these issues. And I thank you that it is your communicative love letter to us. And Lord, that it reigns supreme. It is absolute, objective truth. Now bless our time, I ask. And may you be pleased today, Lord, in the things that happen in the hearts of people here today. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Friends in Christ, and by the way, this is going to be a little different kind of a message today. But hopefully the thought will get a hold of us. Friends in Christ, it has been my observation that the things contained in the hearts of people, including believers, often fall between the lines of a box. Now, do you understand what I'm talking about here? I'm not talking about a literal wooden or cardboard or pasteboard box, but I'm talking about an imaginary box that we draw around our lives. Can we admit today that we all have a box around our lives? We have a security place that we're comfortable with. And whenever we are challenged to step outside of that box, it can become a very scary thing. Many of the things that we are asked to do by God can be very scary. I really enjoyed our junior-senior high Sunday school class this morning because we were learning in there about when the Israelites came out of bondage in Egypt. And God showed them, and He took special care all the way to lead them to the Red Sea. But yet from the human perspective, as they saw what was taking place, they knew they were in big trouble because they had this great body of water in front of them that they had to somehow get across, and they had the pursuing Egyptian army in the rear. And I learned some new things this morning from my friends from Missouri. We talked about the statement, "I've got your back." What was that statement you gave me this morning?
I got
your six. And you're 12, right? That's right, but God had both, right? Yeah. Well, they learned, Missouri is the show me state. They showed me some new language this morning. But folks, let's get this squared away. If you're a blood-bought believer in Jesus Christ, He's got you. Amen. Both ways. He's in control of your front, and He's got your six, your back. The problem is what falls in between that revolves around us. And I'm going to ask you, class, what did the Israelites want to do? They wanted to turn around and go back. They wanted to stay inside their box. But that's not what God said. By the way, we learned another thing to think about. When you know Christ as your Savior, you've got the high hand. You've got the God of this world. Not Satan, but the God of all things. The God of the Bible on your side. And the other thing He told in that text that He tells multiple times in the Bible is do not fear. So I encourage us this morning, as you begin to think outside of your box, that box, again, would cause us to think and to thank outside of the parameters that we have drawn around it, because in God's eyes, there is no limits to that box. And you'll find out this morning as I speak this, this is how I know, because I've sat and heard preaching before. You're going to say, well, he missed about this. Or I'm challenged about this and he didn't mention it. No, I'm not going to mention everything it could be. But I'll be sad if someone doesn't think outside the box after this morning. Because folks, I tell you what, Satan wants us to be incarcerated in a box. And to limit the power of Jesus Christ in our lives and the power of the Holy Spirit. We fall, in many cases, in the lines of a box, where we limit our perspective on life and what affects us, and we rarely cross the lines. Our prayer life exposes this very example. And I've heard quite a bit of praying in my years, being involved in the church. What does yours and mine look like when we think about our boxes? What is our box? What are our limitations? I use this reference about corporate prayer meetings. I've analyzed these over the years, and I found that 3-to-1 requests, usually about health or well-being, top the list over praises and thank yous. Kind of interesting, isn't it? Since this is a Thanksgiving message, what box is drawn around your thankfulness today? What's going on in your life today that you have not been able to give thanks about? Because remember what Doug read to us in 1 Thessalonians 5:18 from the hand of the Apostle Paul. Unless I'm mistaken, it says, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. That word everything means what? Everything. If you had a flat tire yesterday, apparently no one did, what was the first thing to think about? What was your box regarding that? Was it thankfulness to God that maybe because you had that flat tire, something that may have happened to you, you were protected from because God gave you that little trial that ruined your day? Wow, we get our days ruined over little things, don't we? Did you thank God? Did you thank Him when you got the bill if you're out along the road for getting towed or having someone have to come and help you if you couldn't change it yourself? You get the idea I'm talking about here. Most boxes are drawn around the fact, well, I don't give thanks for stuff like that. Because nothing good came of it. Folks, out of everything good can come. If we get ourselves in the right perspective about being thankful. What are you thankful? What you are thankful for shows yourself and others, including God, the limits of your thankfulness box. God knows, you know. It is my goal to challenge us today to think and thank outside the box and expand our lines. I believe it also is what God wants us because of what he told us there in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, give thanks. Consider, though, again, as I mentioned, what that word everything means. As you properly answered, it means everything. Everything. And folks, if you'll come to that perspective, your lines in your box are going to move. They're going to move. If you don't, those lines will encroach upon you. And I believe this, if you have a thankfulness box today with limited lines and limited space, you're a sour and bitter person. You're a person that needs the help. Not of the mental health facilities, but the help of the Lord Jesus Christ. It'll change your perspective. Amen? Well, we're going to focus on three little things today. Please forgive me, because I know someone will say, well, this wasn't a very doctrinal message, John. And I'm going to say it's a real doctrinal message. It's just that we're taking one little bit of it and we're expanding upon it. You know, I've heard it in church circles. I've heard it in other circles where I would maybe have a public prayer, maybe at a Bible study. You're never going to believe this, even though some of you have been to those very places I've been. And when I'd said, does anyone have a praise or something to be thankful about today? Tell me what came on the scene. Deathly silence. People that were professed believers could not find one thing to say that they were thankful for. I usually, sometimes when these groups met, it was right after lunch, I said, did you all eat today? Yeah, but it wasn't very good. Are you thankful for the basic sustenance of life? Are you thankful that the heat's on today? And I've seen this, folks, and if you haven't, you better get out in the real world, because that's this real world, folks. People are not thankful. Even Christians can't find something to give God glory about. I hope that's not the case here today, because I'll guarantee if that's the case in your life, you need help. You need help. Well, three little points today. First of all, if there's nothing else today that you can be thankful for as a born-again believer, there's your salvation. There should never be a born-again Christian wandering around not thankful for anything who shows up at a prayer meeting or a time like that and can't give glory to God. Your box is drawn tight, I'm telling you, if you forgot your salvation. It's a difference, folks, between what? Heaven and hell. You know, a lot of the churches today are so-called churches, they don't even preach about hell. Some don't believe that it exists. It does not exist today in its full-blownness, but it's coming. But the first phases of it, Hades, do exist. People apart from Jesus Christ go into the beginnings of eternal punishment and torment this very day. But I do know this on the basis of Scripture, those that have been born again in the Lord Jesus Christ go to the presence of the Lord Jesus today. Not yet in full bodily form, but in their spiritual form. Their souls. And let me tell you, folks, there's some good things ahead. But don't ever forget there's some good things going on right now, too. Right? You know something? We are never without something to do as a Bible-believing Christian. Work is good for us, and I'll tell you what, we are under the greatest assignment ever given to anyone in this whole world, and that's the assignment of the Great Commission. We've got stuff to do, and it's important stuff. Amen. the gift of salvation. You know what? It's not just about your salvation either. I'm thankful today that several of you here today that I know are, well, at least I believe you're born again. We know that's only between the Lord and us that really know. But I'm thankful today that there's others here that have been born again in Jesus Christ besides me. Because this is another problem when people have their thankfulness boxes too tight, you see. They'd like to see some people end up in hell. That's a terrible thing to think about. But I'm telling you today, there's born-again Christians, at least that claim to be, that may think those kind of thoughts. The difference, folks, I just have to name a few of these. You know, our thankfulness, first of all, that others are saved besides ourselves. I know that we tend to be self-centered, but are you thankful today as a born-again believer of your walk with Jesus and the difference it's made in your life? Very likely, there's at least a few of us here today that wouldn't be where we're at today in life, and I'm not talking about materialism or any of the rest of this, but we would not be where we are today without that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Who knows where we might be today? We may be in hell, you know, in Hades today. Give thanks for your salvation and in the lives of others. Be thankful that others that were saved made a difference in your life. None of us were saved by accident. We were called of God, but let me tell you, God uses other people in our lives. And I believe this today, that I see this in the circles of the Christians, that we are less apt to want to go outside our comfort walls and our thankfulness boundaries, and we don't even want to talk to people about Jesus. But what if no one would have talked to the people that brought you to Christ and challenged you? We don't think about these things, do we? Because the box is small, and it's centered on us, not on Jesus. That made a difference in our lives, that the difference has been made through our lives, and the impact that all this has made on our world. We hear universal complaints about the status of things today, and I'm not comfortable with it either. But you know what, folks? It could be what? Worse. It could be a lot worse if it weren't for Jesus. We're not without hope, Christian. Unbeliever that may be here today, you're not without hope in Jesus Christ. But apart from Him, there is no hope. There is no hope. But that hope is found in the salvation and the love of God through Jesus Christ. The deliverance from hell that we deserve through Jesus and its impact should inspire us to think outside our box and to move the lines coupled with the gift of heaven. What a difference salvation has made in this world and in people's lives in general. If we can't come up with anything else, our everything ought to include the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. Enough said, right? Now, I know that I've forgot a lot of things, but you're thinking, and I did too after I wrote this, many more things, but we keep it simple this morning, but just understand all that flows out of that one thing that we can be thankful for. Second point today, the gift of His grace and mercy. Oh boy. Kim and I are here before you today because of the gift of God's grace and mercy. You're all here, and I'm here because of His grace and mercy. Particularly, though, yesterday, God woke us up, didn't He, Kim? Kim and I took a little drive up to the Dubuque area for an event that we attended, and yet, I don't know what it was like around here, but at 7 o'clock in the morning up north of DeWitt, there was a pretty good glaze of freezing rain on the roads. So bad that the pavement was dry, but I crossed a bridge, and I had it on cruise control, and I began to fishtail, and I said to Kim, we're headed for the ditch and probably going to roll. By God's grace, I was able to get my left foot, and hit the brakes quick, and knock it off cruise. And by God's grace, the truck righted itself. But you know what? There were a lot of people north of DeWitt and south of Dubuque that were in the ditch yesterday morning. I don't know. I didn't hear the news. Some that were on their tops. I don't know how they would have survived those rollovers that they went through. Semis in the ditch. And you know what? We had to pull off the road. It was so bad until we finally, a salt truck came through. And we waited about 10 minutes and then proceeded. God's grace. Our thankfulness box expanded yesterday, didn't it, Kim? Because there again, God was showing. He gave me an illustration for this message that was right there. I don't know how many of you folks are mechanically minded, but you know, all of our vehicles are just one little part away from deadly destruction. Some of us have experienced those things. I've lost a tie rod on a heavy truck before. I've had a blowout of a steer tire on a heavy truck on a road. You know, the components that make up these vehicles are faulty because they're man-made. It's God's grace. Some of these roads you drive over and the holes that you know, I've been told by people, some of these small cars, it could wipe the whole front end out from under them. We are moving in a tin can at 70 miles an hour down the road, folks. If something goes wrong, it's not good. God's grace and mercy. In salvation that we just looked at, but also in what could have happened in a wreck. I wrote this long before we went on this little journey where someone was spared. The person was spared. We'll expand on that a little bit. The person you did or did not marry. I'd like to hear some stories about that. I'm thankful for the one that I did. But let me tell you something, folks. God, if you're following Him, He's got His hand on top of all those things. You think about that. The times you have not been hit by a tornado or a storm. But what about the times that you have? We've had both happen to us over the years. And I thank God for all of it. You'll find at our place there are very few trees left. And some buildings and things that are gone. Can you thank God when those kind of things happen? What about His grace and mercy shown in the birth and preservation of healthy children? Or your health? I sure hear the requests when people have troubles with health, but I don't hear the praises even when we have troubles. But God sees fit to allow us to continue for Him. That's just my experience. Maybe I'm wrong. The sparing of your spouse or your family. The blessings of an income. I hate my job. Well, I won't go there. I was thinking about Dubuque and a film that came out 30 years ago. Take this job and I'm not working here no more. Well, I don't endorse it. But people hate a lot of things. By the way, we don't need labor unions. We don't need management if we do it by the book. It's true, isn't it, Larry? People look to all these other things. The book tells you, you treat one another as you want to be treated. That's the basics. It's how God wants it. By the way, have you thanked God for His Word? Kay, you could have made another chapter, not chapter in music, but what? Another stanza. There's the word. About those very kind of things. You know, God wants us to be in His Word. He tells us all the answers. Bibles are covered with dust in many cases. We're the most biblically illiterate generation in many, many years. The blessings of an income, the blessings of help when you have that flat tire along the road. Who do you want to see stop? anyone that can help you if you forgot your jack, right? Have you ever thought about how many of us in this room have never received help? You know, I always have to say, no one ever did nothing for me. I've heard people say that about God. He ain't never done nothing for me. Every one of us in this room have had help. How's your box? The blessings of possessions and material goods. Are you thankful for the coat that God gave you? Maybe even that came out of what? You know, someone else's throwaway. Are you thankful? Most people think it's not good enough, but it's more than we deserve, right? What about where you live? You know, I'll admit to you, if there was a place to go, I'd leave the United States. But you fill in the rest of that answer. There's nowhere to go. You're in the best place you can be. Are you thankful? It's interesting, I don't ever see immigrants, legal or illegal, very often leave the United States to go immigrate to another nation. The blessings of food and shelter. Living in the state of Missouri or Iowa or Illinois, I had to be very politically correct about that today. Well, you know, some people say Iowa's heaven. Let me tell you, it's not, but I'm still thankful for it. The blessings of your mental faculties. If you've been around folks that are struggling with memory issues and dementia, I don't have anything to be thankful for today. How are the lines on your box? I mentioned your health, and these are not all inclusive. Your parents and your upbringing. Whether it be good or bad. Because he says what? In everything. You'll learn a lot from your parents. Sometimes good, sometimes not good. But you'll learn. And you need to give thanks. For all that you take and I take for granted and that is routine in our life, for your congregation. Add it, Kim, Pastor John. For your pastor and wife, congregation. For your church family. Been a lot of churches throughout the years torn to pieces by Satan's influence. The thankfulness box shrank or became non-existent. We need each other, and we'll need each other the more. You'll be thankful when this message is over. For the love of God and others in your life. What if no one loves you? I believe there could be people that have never experienced real human love, but God loves you. And your ability to love others. How about this for forgiveness and cleansing? For the restraint and help of the Holy Spirit. For gifts of the Spirit and the uplifting that God gives us in time of our need. Things that can be found that show His grace and mercy every minute of every day. And on we go. Third point. Are you ready for point three? Or are we? You know, the proper deliverance of a message is 3 points and a poem. There will not be a poem today. The gift of trials. The gift of trials. I've alluded to it already this morning, but for God's control in the believer's life. There's not one of us in this room that hasn't existed under trials. Doug, 1 Corinthians 10:13. Let's take another look at that quick. Probably most of us could quote it. I had a man quote this to me yesterday, but like always, he missed the last part of it. There hath no temptation or testing, that's the word you can put in there, a trial. By the way, if there's anyone that hasn't had a trial in your life, I want to meet you today. Single me out today. There hath no temptation or trial taken you, but such as is common to man. In other words, if you're a human, you're going to have troubles. Jesus told, says in this, I think it's Matthew 6:33, in this world you shall have tribulation, but what? Get down, get negative, go see your psychiatrist. He says, but be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world. It's common. But God is what? Who will not suffer you to be tested or tempted above that you are able. God knows that we are beings that are fragile. And what he says is, you know, you think about Job. That's who comes to mind immediately. But even God gave Job a way to escape the test. But he had to endure it till what? Till it was over. He had a choice. He could have blamed God. He got a little on that side of things. But God used this to do what with Job? Just what we're learning this morning. He increased Job's what? Thankfulness box. God knows our limitations better than we do. And let me say this. We can take a lot more than what we think. God knows. We don't. But if we trust him. But will with that temptation or testing, he says, Paul says, also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. God even shows us how to take the exit. And that's what we need to do at some times. And he'll show that exit sign to us. Anyway, here it is, the gift of trials. For God's control in the believer's life during these trials, give thanks. Have you ever thought about it when you've been ill or hospitalized? Maybe you've been diagnosed with cancer or some other critical disease that affects our bodies. Have you ever thought about who you're going to encounter in that journey and who you're going to meet? That you can have an impact with, or that they may have an impact with you? For those things and more, be thankful. Because doesn't he say in everything? You know, an illness or a critical condition can be a real expander of your horizons, both from what others do for you and what you can do for others. Give thanks. That things are never as bad as they could be. Even death, which many people have experienced this year of a loved one, it's a terrible thing, and there are terrible things that go with that, with grief. But it could have been worse if that loved one was not in heaven with Jesus. And you know, even the death of an unsaved person can give an inroads to someone to be saved. In everything, give thanks. That at every loss, you can always have a gain. Think about that. That at every loss, you can always have a gain. For empathy. If there weren't trials, there would not be empathy. There's a difference between sympathy and empathy. You want to help me with that? Sympathy means, yes, you understand that someone is going through a trial and has gone through a difficulty, but empathy means you've gone through that trial too, and so you can really help them because you know where they're at. See, if I go out to people and say, I know where you're at, and I don't know where they're at, I'm a liar. And that's what I've found in my life, is that the more things I encounter, the better I'm able to help others that encounter the same things. Because I can't just say, yeah, I understand. I can say, I know. And I thank God for that. For new strengths and experiences, etc., that we find in our testing. And you'll find out also under these trials that you took a lot for granted. And we do that as well. We're unthankful for so much. Also that God is always what? He's faithful. And we found that right there in that verse. That by being poor, you were spared the problems of being rich. By the way, none of us in this room are poor today. There are no poor people in the United States of America today. The Bible gives the baseline. It says if you have clothes and something to eat, maybe it's only a crust of bread. Paul says, be what? Well, he says, be content. But you can't be content if you're not thankful. You agree? For being poor, but understanding you're really rich in Christ. In Christ, it's not the things you don't have, but the things that you have. And I must say this, as we talk about the homegoing of a loved one, we can still be thankful in that, in this sense, that it shows that God's plan is at work. Well, what do I have here? I'll leave it at that. Well, I've given us some thankful box expanders today, right? And there could be many more. From the biblical perspective of a Christian, and hopefully you are now thinking about some other things in your life that I have missed. Can I ask, is there anyone that's thinking like that? Because I've missed a lot. This is really a pretty incomplete message if you really boil it down to our personal walks. The goal, though, today is giving thanks in, which is an ever-growing list for the Christian. Did I neglect to mention your current breath and heartbeat this morning? So come on, folks, let's be thankful and expand the box. It is God's will in Christ concerning you and I. Thank you. Whoever said amen? Amen.
Amen.
So let's take our hymnals and we'll stand, or it's on the screen this morning. As we consider some of these things, you know, maybe there's a reason to move. It's number 362. There's a reason many times to stand still, but there's also a reason to move. And maybe this is a day that we need to move toward the Lord in repentance. And maybe we need to cry out to Him today and say, Lord, I've sinned against You. And I'm saying that myself. I have not been thankful enough. And I've missed a lot of the good stuff, Lord, that You've put right in my face. And I've trampled over it looking for more. Maybe that's someone here today. There's an old saying, you stumble over a dollar to get to a dime. If the little things about being thankful aren't enough, neither will anything that's bigger. Because you'll always want more, but Jesus is enough. He is enough today, and He is waiting. And like Cabe so well sang this morning, He wants some time with you. Are you thankful to take that time with Him? I would have to say a trip to God's altar is probably in order for all of us in this category today. And I'm thankful today that He's ready to hear from us. So you let God deal in your life today. Don't resist the Spirit, but give thanks for what He's talking to you about today. And move. Here we go. I would love to tell you, think of Jesus, since I found in Him a friend so strong and true. I would tell you how He changed my life completely. He He did something that no other friend could do. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cares for me. What's your first response? Let's go and have lunch. Our first response today should be saying what? Thank you, Jesus. It's all about you. May the Lord watch over you the rest of this day. He's open for business 24/7 every day. He wants to hear from you. I pray your thankfulness box will increase this day from the preaching of the word. You're dismissed in Jesus' name. Have a good afternoon.